This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier for all your unwanted smells, from pets, cooking, damp basements, smoke, whatever. You need the Thunderstorm. Buy the three-pack now and use a couple for yourself and then maybe give one as a Christmas gift. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code word Howie3. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. You know what today is? We haven't even discussed this yet. And it's the most important part of any Thursday. It's Friday, Junior. I hope you're all enjoying Friday Eve, getting excited for the weekend. I'm so happy to be here. This is the best job in the world, getting to talk to you guys. And we're going to cover something that sounds incredibly boring, but I promise you the cuts we have will make it interesting. That is because there are hearings going on for Joe Biden's nominee, Colleen Shogan, who he wants to be the archivist of the United States. Now, the National Archives and Records Administration has been in the news a lot lately because of another person, the former president, Donald J. Trump. And there was this whole back and forth with the National Archives and the DOJ. They wanted to get papers from Trump, classified, top secret, double dog dare you documents. And Trump was giving them a hard time, allegedly, and they were going back and forth. And the National Archives has been in the headlines for quite a bit lately, which brings us to Colleen Shogan. Now, she's been nominated and she's being asked questions, and something came up. It's a 2007 Perspectives on Politics article by Shogan, and it's called Anti-Intellectualism in the Modern Presidency, Republican Populism. Now, the C-SPAN summary is Shogan says the article was about Republican presidents' use of rhetoric and their success connecting with the American people. Josh Hawley saw it a little differently. What I immediately thought of when I was hearing descriptions of this piece is it brings me back to the old Donald Trump speaks at the level of a fourth grader. That was a huge criticism levied against Trump, was that he has a fourth grade vocabulary, which I would actually argue, as someone who also has a fourth grade vocabulary, that it can be effective in connecting with people. And maybe me and Shogan agree, but there's no doubt that the connotation here, or I'm sorry, the insinuation is that anti-intellectualism, that characteristic or that description is thrown at Republicans. And Josh Hawley was asking her about it. We're going to play that, but I just want to point out that she's being billed as a nonpartisan person. And if you're writing these kind of things for Perspectives on Politics about the anti-intellectualism in the modern presidency, and then years later, I don't care if it's 10 years, 20 years, you're at a hearing. That would be like me being brought up into one of these hearings, Jared. If they nominated me for something and they said, well, you wrote in the Boston Herald that Joe Biden's cat should be running the White House. And I tried to say, that's not what I meant, though. I didn't. Obviously, the cat shouldn't be running the White House. It's not what I meant. Well, why'd you write it? Well, I didn't think I'd be here in the next 10 years. That's what they all try to do when their past gets brought up. So Josh Hawley, very, very smart, and he decides to ask Colleen Shogan about this. Let's start with cut four.
Republicans tend to exhibit anti-intellectual qualities. Democrats, on the other hand, coalesce on the intellectual tail of the continuum. So is the point that Republicans are stupid and Democrats are intellectual?
Yes, thank you, Senator, for that question. Absolutely not. The point of the article is that the presidents that I featured in it have a rhetorical connection with the American people.
A rhetorical connection that you say is anti-intellectual. And you feature every two-term Republican president, going back to Dwight Eisenhower.
Yes, Senator, I think it's a piece on rhetoric, and it is really looking at how these presidents have been successful rhetorically in their arguments.
They know how to speak dumb-dumb to their voters. That's what she's trying to say. You know, to the voters who, as CNN might put it, you know, we can't point out places on a map. We don't know how to spell things. And Republican presidents are really good at speaking our language. I think that's what she's trying to say, Jerry, but I'm too dumb to understand it. So if she tells me that's not what she was saying, she's probably right. I'm not an intellectual like Colleen Shogan.
She's one of them high learned peoples.
Yes, yes, sir. Okay, so Holly keeps going with this. Cut five.
Interesting. It's a piece on rhetoric, but you attribute part of the anti-intellectualism of the Republican Party to, in your words, the rise of the religious right.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that. Is it because those voters are stupid?
Thank you, Senator, for that question. Absolutely not. And if I am confirmed as Archivist of the United States, I look forward to welcoming all Americans to the National Archives.
So do you think that people who voted...
Pause there. You know who else told me that at one point? That he was going to be the president of everybody? Was Joe Biden. He looked forward to being the president of the whole country until he got into the job, and then he started calling us semi-fascists and MAGA Republicans who are destroying democracy. Up until that point, though, very good intentions. He was another guy who is, you know, called balls and strikes straight down the middle, just like Colleen. And I do appreciate the thank you, Senator, after every question. There's got to be something where they tell them that, like, oh, that throws off the questions or that gets in their head. Someone is giving them that advice or that training before these hearings. Just keep saying thank you, and that will change the rhythm of the hearing. It doesn't work. It doesn't work, but very polite. We appreciate courtesy here at the Grace Curley Show. Let's have cut six.
So you characterize President Reagan as having, quote, less than impressive intellectual capacities. You said President Eisenhower and Bush were decidedly intellectual. You said Reagan engaged in intellectual posturing. Let's just start with the first one. Less than impressive intellectual capacities. So in other words, it's dumb.
Thank you, Senator. Absolutely not. That was a perception, and it was cited.
I'm sorry. It's a perception by whom? By you? You wrote about it.
No, Senator. That was, and as I said, in the article, that is a perception. But actually, in the article, because...
You say Reagan's less than impressive intellectual capacities have been widely discussed. Mm-hmm. That's presented as a factual statement. Mm-hmm. You don't even cite for it. Mm-hmm. This is on page 298. I have your article. Don't dissemble in front of me.
Oof! Coming from a big dummy like Josh Hawley, that's pretty good stuff. I would almost think that he's got her there. His intellectual capacity never ceases to amaze me. Let's have cut seven. I'm enjoying this.
Mm-hmm. You're not saying that he had less than, that's not your view?
Thank you, Senator. It is not my view.
Why did you write it?
Thank you, Senator. That is not my view. My view was focused on his rhetorical capability.
That's not what your sentence says. Listen, you wrote an article saying basically that Republican voters are stupid, that Republican presidents deliberately appeal to anti-intellectualism. You roll it all up in this thing called Republican populism, yet you're trying to present yourself here as a nonpartisan.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you're an extreme partisan, and your record shows that. You're someone who has denigrated Republican presidents, every two-term Republican president, I think, I hope I'm not leaving anybody out, that has, since the Second World War, and their voters, in this lengthy article. I mean, I just don't understand. If you wrote it, why won't you stand behind it?
Thank you, Senator. I will stand by my long experience, over 15 years of nonpartisan service.
Ooh. I guess all the education and the smarts that this woman has wasn't enough to beat Josh Hawley, because he wiped the floor with her on that one. I wonder if she'll add a little asterisk to her piece. This made me think immediately, too, not just of the Trump has the vocabulary of a fourth grader. It also made me think of John Kennedy, Senator John Kennedy's exchange with another one of Biden's nominees a few months ago. So Sarah Bloom Raskin, she's Jamie Raskin's wife, and she was Biden's nominee for the Federal Reserve vice chair. And she was also being asked about a piece she wrote in the New York Times and a comment that she made in that piece regarding the oil and gas industry during her confirmation hearing. Now, she argued against the Federal Reserve's support for the oil and gas industry, despite the financial hardships caused to companies by the pandemic, reading here from the Daily Caller. I want to play this because it's the same thing. These high-minded liberals, they write these things, and then when they get asked to back it up, or to stand by it, or to explain it even, they deny, deny, deny. They pretend it didn't happen. It's not like they tweeted it, you know, on a Saturday night after too many glasses of wine. These are pieces that were written and published, and that at some point they must have been proud of, until it became inconvenient for their nomination process. Can I have cut 10? This is a flashback from February.
May of 2020, the world economy is melting down. Because government shut it down. We're trying to hold it together with baling wire, duct tape, spit, and happy thoughts. And you say, that's great, but we ought to let oil and gas companies go broke. Did you really mean that?
Well, thank you, Senator Kennedy.
You're welcome.
For that question. And the Federal Reserve has particular mandates set out
but,
by
but,
law.
But I know about all that, but did you mean it? You said it. Here it is. Big as Dallas. I read the op-ed. You said, save everybody but the oil and gas industry and let them go broke. Did you really mean that?
So I have been clear on my views. The whole point of the op-ed was that the Fed should not pick winners and losers.
Except for oil and gas. You said they ought to be allowed to go broke.
The Fed should not pick or favor any sector at all.
Then why did you say it?
The Fed is not in the business of choosing winners and losers.
Then why did you recommend to them that they let oil and gas go broke?
I did not recommend.
Yes, ma'am. I read the op-ed. There it is.
It's unbelievable how similar all these nomination hearings go. Because they're liars. Because they're liars. And you know what I would say? For a bunch of Harvard-educated, brilliant Ivy Leaguers, they're too stupid. Yeah, I'll say it. They can use it against me. I can use it against them. They're too stupid to know that it's going to come back to bite them in the behind. So I guess you can be as smart as you want, but you weren't smart enough to keep it out of the New York Times. Or perspectives on politics. But these are the same people who want to, you know, turn their noses up at people in Texas or people in Florida because we're not as smart as they are. And they don't answer the questions. It's like talking to a brick wall. It's very, very frustrating to listen to. But I think Josh Hawley did an excellent job. The Democrat surveillance state is here. 87,000 new armed non-law enforcement IRS agents. Why does America need that? The liar said no new taxes on individuals making under $400,000. We paid attention to the $400,000 and they slipped this in under our noses. They'll soon control all aspects of your life. You've already read the articles about Venmo and all of the rest, and they're going to be rummaging through every dime you've ever spent. This is not a joke. This is not a drill. This is for real. You've traded thousands of hours of time building your nest egg, looking out for your nest egg, trying to make it strong. Now you have to protect it. You need this now. It's Monetary Gold's new guide, and it's called 5 Money Mistakes That Could Crush Your Retirement in the Next 6 Months. Call Monetary Gold now. There's no time to delay. It's 888-617-7994. Get 5 money mistakes that could crush your retirement in the next 6 months. 888-617-7994. Time is of the essence. They're trying to give people the swerve. That's how dumb they think we are. That they can just kind of like semantics their way out of every question by saying, thank you. Thank you, Senator. I appreciate that question. No, you're just liars. You don't have to be brilliant to understand that. 844-500-4242. Taking your calls, a lot more to get to. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show.
This hour of The Grace Curley Show is brought to you by NASA Disposal. Cleaning and greening Cape Cod and Plymouth one stop at a time.
Go to NossetDisposal.com.
Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
What was your reaction?
Well, she campaigned on it 4 years ago. It was a vicious campaign, and she just talked about Trump, and we're going to indict him, we're going to get him. She knew nothing about me. I never heard of her. But I saw this woman, I saw the statement she was putting out without knowing anything. And she said, we're going to get him. That her whole campaign was based on that. And then she came after us. We've been going over this for years. And I actually thought, because our values are really high, the company is great. I built a great company. You take places like this, so many other places that I have, like this, frankly. I mean, just the among the finest places anywhere in the world. I actually thought that they would never bring a case. And she brought it. And the reason I thought, because she didn't have a case. I was of the impression she wanted to settle, but I had a problem because how do you pay something, even if it's a small amount of money, if you're not guilty? This was just a continuation of a witch hunt that began when I came down the escalator at Trump Tower.
That was the former president talking with Sean Hannity about Letitia James filing a civil lawsuit against him. And I just want to add in here, and I got to give credit to Howie for pointing this out to me. A new poll is showing that Attorney General candidate Michael Henry is defeating Letitia James in the polls. It's a Trafalgar poll, which I'm a big fan of their work. They're actually pretty accurate when you consider how bad most polling systems are. So, that could be part of this as well. I think there's a lot of theatrics happening right now in politics on both sides of people who are getting nervous about their positions. So she had to file this civil lawsuit. Hey, I feel kind of bad about being so harsh on those nominees. I shouldn't have said they were stupid. They're very smart people, I'm sure. But it bothers me when Republicans are painted as these rubes because we don't focus on, or we don't have the same, some do. You know, there's plenty of intellectuals who are Republicans, but it's this stereotype that you saw on CNN that we don't know how to find places on a map, or, you know, we just vote for Donald Trump because we're sucked into his cult. And some of the smartest people I know didn't get an Ivy League degree. They didn't get a degree in some sort of fancy, you know, oh, economics. They're not Nobel laureates, and they're very smart people. And I don't appreciate that, because a lot of people who have common sense or street smarts or whatever you want to call it end up doing just fine without the bow ties and, you know, the experience in the Biden White House. 844-500-4242. But I always try to keep it nice, you know, try to keep it as classy as I can. I just lost my temper there for a minute. All right. Something else I want to talk about here, and we're going to use this in this segment, and then we're going to go into it in the next segment. It's one of my favorite segments. Let's just start it here, Jared, so we can get people on the line. It's red states versus blue states.
Hey, what smells like blue?
I like red.
Me too.
Okay.
I like blue.
I don't look at this in terms of blue states and red states. And look at the states that are having such a spike. They're the red states.
Between red and blue.
All right, now there's a lot of talk about people moving out of New York. In fact, New York continues to stampede south as record numbers swap to Florida licenses. The COVID-driven rush of New Yorkers into Florida has turned into a stampede with no end in sight. A record-breaking number of Empire State residents switched their driver's licenses to the Sunshine State version last month. Now, this is from the New York Post. And that's not all. There's a story that I read in Red State, which is what a perfect name to be reading from for this segment, about the LA City Councilwoman and how she told a business owner to stop sending graphic photos of destruction wrought by violent homelessness, because apparently it's okay for him to have to deal with it every day outside of his store, but it's too upsetting to actually send to the people that are representing that area. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Gavin Newsom blaming Donald Trump and this inability of blue state leaders to take responsibility for the havoc that is now occurring in their states because of their terrible policies. Where you come in is if you've recently moved to a red state, or if you want to move to a red state, if you still live in a blue state, or if you love a blue state, call in, give us your pitch, let us know how it's going. 844-500-4242. And I got plenty of stories to go along with this. It's time for Red State, Blue State. Call in now. We'll be right back.
And we will cross this divide.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. It's time for a segment I really like. This is where we talk about red states versus blue states.
Between red and blue.
I have a lot of stories about blue states where actually a lot of the people running these blue states into the ground want to be president in 2024. So we'll talk about that. But first, let's go right to the callers. Roger, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Roger.
Hi, Grace. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Not much. I moved to New Hampshire, which I don't know if you count that as a red state or not. But,
I do.
New or die state. Okay, great. Yeah, I moved there from New York back in March. I've been eyeballing it for a while. New York was going crazy with the Second Amendment stuff, and then when the COVID lockdown nonsense hit, that just put the icing on the cake. My employer operated in both states. I was able to get a transfer over, and to put some icing on my cake, I got about a 6% raise just from the income tax savings, not to mention the sales tax.
And how's your quality of life different, Roger, in New Hampshire versus New York?
A lot more freedom. I no longer feel like the government is out to get me, watching my every move, just waiting for a chance to pounce.
To pounce, to seize, to weaponize. Thank you, Roger. Good first call for this segment. We appreciate it. The number, if you have a story like Roger's, or if you just want to have a story like Roger's, if you hear that and you, I remember the first time we did this segment, a guy called up and he had moved down south and he was talking about how much more acres he has and how he has a long driveway and he enjoys the sun every day. And I thought, this segment might not work because people who are listening in Massachusetts are just going to get too angry with me. But the number is 844-500-4242. And while we get you on the lines here, I want to tell you a little story about what's happening in Los Angeles. This ties in to this theme of red states versus blue states. A Los Angeles homeless man has been captured on video hurling his own feces at a business owner who blasted city officials for not caring about the growing transient crisis. Now, Paul Scrivano, he's the owner of Blue Dog Beer Tavern, and he had footage of the pantsless man throwing a bag of waste on the hood of a car. He said to the news, Fox 11, he said, every day it's like one flew over the cuckoo's nest, literally a psych ward. Scrivano said one man in particular openly defecates on Ventura Boulevard. Every single morning I'm wiping that off my property before I have to do my business. He has to do his business. The homeless guy's got to do his business. And so the cycle continues. But I'm not.
I was a businessman doing business.
I had to make that joke, but I do really feel for Scrivano because he's losing his mind. So he sends a photo. Get this. He sends a photo with video proof of this incident. He also talks about how at one point in his email to the city councilwoman, he says, this was my weekend. Look at this. And it's photos and video. I insist you do so because I and my customers trying to enjoy their al fresco dining experience had to look at it all weekend. I'm going to skip down. He says, all day Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which days are the sweet spot days for the restaurant business, this woman who smells from 10 feet away, begs, yells, pulls on car doors, tries breaking my dry cleaner's gas cap off of his delivery van, takes multiple bleeps on neighboring properties, threatens and screams curses at me while calmly asking her to leave, and of course, exposes herself to my entire patio congregation as she lays stupefied just a few feet away. When I dialed
the number they give for these type of situations. It took exactly 4 hours for them just to call back and ask if she was still on the property. Between this woman and the other drunken, psychotic sidewalk dwellers up and down Ventura Boulevard, it is, in my estimation, an emergency situation which needs to be addressed in such a manner. He goes on to continue to vent about the issue, and this is part of the response he gets back. Here is that email. In future, we request that you do not send these types of photos to our staff, as we will not be able to respond if they contain inappropriate content, such as a person indecently exposed. While it is not right that you and your customers were confronted with this, it is also crossing a boundary to send these photos to our staff unsolicited. So he's crossing a boundary. Oh, God. He's crossing a boundary. By showing them proof of why he needs help, he can't run a business with these crazy naked people pooping all over the street. And their response is, unsubscribe, basically. Yeah, I'm sure that businesses are just flourishing in California. Dave, you're up next on Red States versus Blue States. Go ahead, Dave.
Good afternoon, Grace. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Well, I just want to tell you that December 30th of 21, I officially retired, and my wife and I bought a house up in western New Hampshire.
Congratulations. How you liking it?
Well, I came from Connecticut, so you can well imagine.
Yeah, I would guess it's an improvement, Dave.
Well, now I have an unlimited view of the mountains. New Hampshire's a constitutional carry. Taxes are a lot better than what Connecticut was, and we don't have Richard Blumenthal.
Your cup runneth over. You don't miss Dick Blumenthal, Dave?
No, not at all. Unfortunately, we have Maggie Hassan, and she's as bad as Blumenthal, but hopefully she will disappear come the midterms.
Yeah, yeah, fingers crossed Maggie Hassan gets beat in the midterms. 844-500-4242. Thanks for the call, Dave. We're going to continue to take your calls. I'm seeing some interesting states coming in here on the caller ID, and I have a feeling I know which states people are either calling from or they used to be living at, and I'm jealous. If, you know, I love living here. My whole family's here, but everything's cheaper in a lot of these states. It just does seem like it's a better quality of life. And just to know that the people running your government don't hate you, it's got to be a nice feeling. Cullen, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Cullen.
Hey, Grace. How are you today?
Good. What's going on?
I escaped crazy, crazy New York State 18 months ago, moved to Manchester, New Hampshire. As a business executive, have just watched them specifically and purposely destroy the upstate economy. The New York City moneyed interests make no bones about loving their great Adirondack adventures and vacations, but they want no industrial operation whatsoever, and they work day and night to just try to choke it all off. It's crazy.
It is crazy. And you look at Kathy Hochul, you look at Alvin Bragg, you look at all of these political leaders, and it's not like it's a mystery, you know, Colin? Like, they've had this before where when you have crime, when things are getting out of control, there are ways that as politicians, as government leaders, you can make things better. They just don't seem to have any interest in doing that.
Oh, no, none whatsoever. And as a matter of fact, what's really interesting is my father was an executive in the paper industry in New York State his entire life, and he used to just scratch his head just watching them, the politicians and policies just, again, drive business away. And it was very systematic. So basically what you have in upstate New York these days is an economy akin to, you know, I hate to say this, but, no better than, say, Vermont, West Virginia, some of the mid-Atlantic states. I mean, it's really horrible. It's terrible up there. And, it's all been done purposely.
Yeah.
They want everybody.
Sorry, Colin, go ahead.
You know, No, that's okay. They have created a class of citizen in that state that probably 80%, and especially in the deep in the Adirondacks, 80 to 90% of those people who live there are receiving some sort of paycheck from New York State or welfare or whatever. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned how they don't want to do anything about it, and it's even worse than that, because then you listen to Governor Kathy Hochul, and whether she's at a Holocaust education bill signing or, you know, wherever she is, all she talks about, Cullen, is Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis and how Trump and Lee Zeldin and all these people should get on a bus and go to Florida. And I'm sitting here thinking, she must not be seeing the reports in the New York Post about everyone swapping their licenses to Florida, because there's plenty of people getting on buses and moving to Florida. She probably shouldn't be encouraging them.
Oh, no, not for a second, especially when she has to try to figure out how to make her budget annually.
It's just insane. Thank you for the call, Colin. I appreciate it. Before we go to the other calls here, stay right on the line. I just want to play this cut from Gavin Newsom. Now, here's a guy who, there are so many people leaving California, a mass exodus, that they actually at one point were running low on U-Hauls because people couldn't get out of there fast enough. So guess who Gavin Newsom's blaming? You think he's looking inward? You think he's looking in the mirror and saying, you know, it's maybe it's me. Maybe it's me. Who's the fairest of them all? Governor Hair Gel. Well, this is what he had to say. Cut three.
Are more people leaving California for Texas or leaving Texas for California?
Well, we lost about 182,000 folks in the last census.
But how do you explain that against the backdrop of those very remarkable statistics you just cited?
Many factors, and there's been two deep analysis that drives the number one factor. The vast majority, almost the entire amount, impacted because of the visa policies in the Trump administration.
Oh.
I mean, our formula for success is getting first-round draft choices around the rest of the world. I mean, we're as dumb as we want to be. This whole damn border debate is made up. It's made up. Where's Congress? Where the hell are they haven't done their job?
Oh, so the reason people are leaving California for other states where people aren't, you know, encouraged to poop on the sidewalks and scream at people at restaurants, the reason they're doing that is because of Orange Man. Got it. Understood.
Everybody's always blaming me for everything.
Airtight logic, President Newsom. I love it. That man is my future president. It's going to be Newsom Avenatti 2024. Joe, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Grace, thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Yeah, great. So, you know, I just, one of the things that, which is kind of disheartening in a way, is I'm listening to all these nice people that are escaping these blue states, and they're coming to, like, I'm in New Hampshire. I was in Vermont years ago, and I, by way of Massachusetts, and I can tell you that Vermont turned into an episode of Freaks and Geeks. Okay, beautiful state, beautiful mountains, the skiing is great. A little limiting, but the people up there, the lawmakers, they are out to lunch. Now, New Hampshire, when I came down here years ago to take a job in medical sales, was just a breath of fresh air. But you're hearing all these people coming from New York and Connecticut. I just hope they come and want to assimilate. And not try to say, oh, I want to bring, you know, everything, the things I don't have here now, I got to have them. Because that's the fear I have of living in a place where we have a lot of good things going for us. You're seeing so many people coming in, and if they don't want to assimilate, don't bother to come, because we don't need you.
Joe, what you're essentially saying is leave your voting habits in the state that you're escaping from. And that's a very, very common fear for people, especially if you look at Florida. I remember Florida, I think it was in Palm Beach, actually, where Howie's at. People were leaving these flyers on the cars that had New York license plates, basically telling them the same thing. It's fine that you like it here, but don't try to turn Florida into New York, because there's a reason you left New York. We don't want to be New York. If you want New York, stay in New York, but don't bring New York here. That's why you like it here so much, is because we're not New York. And people do try that, though. They get to a new state and they're like, oh, you know, this liberal politician. No. It's the only reason you had somewhere to escape to. And if we end up turning like Florida, and I don't think this is going to happen, if we end up turning Florida and Texas and all these places into more liberal bastions or liberal enclaves for people, where do we go next? Where's the next place to escape? Mark, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Mark.
Hi, Grace. So I left Central Mass for the beautiful north end of Lake Winnipesaukee.
Ooh, love it.
Peaceful, quiet, but I will say, please, 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 leave your voting records in Massachusetts. Do not bring your ballot up here if you're going to vote for people who are going to turn us into Massachusetts North. I left that state to get away from that stupidity. Keep the liberalism south. If we have to build a wall, I'll build a wall. I don't care.
Oh, this is why I like this segment. It turns into a big vent session for people. Understood. Understood. You don't have to worry about me. If I move anywhere after Massachusetts, I will not be voting for liberal politicians. 844-500-4242. Thank you all so much for participating. Thank you for the calls. We will be right back with the one and only Howard Lawrence Carr. And we can ask him a little bit about this, because this is a fear that he always talks about, is that he likes Florida. He likes his little slice of freedom. But he sees a lot of New Yorkers rolling in, a lot of Kathy Hochul fans rolling in, and that might not bode well for Howie Carr. We'll be right back with more. This is The Grace Curley Show.
I'm moving out.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Rizzo Insurance. When was the last time you had your insurance audited? Rizzo saved one of my coworkers over $1,700. To get your insurance audited, go to rizzoinsurance.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who do you trust more for medical advice, Dr. Fauci or not Dr. Stacey Abrams?
Well, Stacey Abrams is convinced that the heartbeat that women hear when their baby is 6 weeks old is actually manufactured by what, the patriarchy? I'm not going to try to explain it in a short amount of time.
Yes, manufactured. So men can control women's bodies through fake heartbeat sound somehow.
I'm going to go with Dr. Fauci on this one.
37% for Dr. Fauci.
Wow. That's how bad Fauci is.
63% for Stacey Abrams.
All right, joining me now is Howie Carr. And Howie, I got to read you some of these texts. We were doing red state versus blue state. 760 says, I fled from California to Kentucky last December. This is the first time I've ever lived in a red state, and I'm 55 years old. It is wonderful. I love having Rand Paul as my senator. The people are lovely and welcoming, even though I came from California.
Thank you. Welcome to America.
But
California.
Don't vote Democrat. That's the message we were getting from a lot of people who moved, or a lot of people who've been in red states. They're saying, we welcome everyone coming here, but please leave your voting records behind.
Agreed. I'm somewhat less concerned about that than I was a couple of years ago, as the chaos and calamity have engulfed the blue states, including the one that we live in here.
Yeah, because you're right. Because the reason people, especially in Florida, I mean, people in New York have always gone to Florida, but it's more so now that they're choosing to live there. Sometimes younger families are choosing to live there. So they're not leaving New York because they really want to. It's because they're desperate, because that's how bad New York is. So hopefully they've learned their lessons. All right, everyone. Howie Carr is coming up next. He's got a great show planned. You don't want to miss it. I'll be back tomorrow for the TGIF Grace Curley Show. Don't go anywhere.